Well, we're going to go back this morning into our teaching. We've been teaching on three parts of faith, and we talked about faith is of the heart. We also dealt with the speaking of what's in your heart to bring it to pass. And then we've spent a lot of time on the areas of acting in faith, what you do. And this morning, we're going to deal over in the areas of really from our natural life, of what we call our natural life. Sometimes people don't think of our natural side of our life as being such an effect on our spiritual. And you need to understand that our life that we live and walk in the flesh is connected with our spiritual life. And if you don't walk right over on that side, you're going to have a problem over in your spiritual side. And we need to understand this, is how we do this and how we walk. I'm just going to say this and bluntly. The faith people have not done well at all in teaching in these areas. They have not done. They just focus everything on the spiritual side. You have a natural life that you've got to live out here. And this life is important. I mean, God created your physical body. You didn't think it was going to be around. If it was some bad thing, then God's bad. You know, we got to get our minds renewed in these ways and the effect of living the right life. One of the great things of the success of our nation has been the people that walked before us lived good natural lives. They might not have known some of the spiritual things we know, but they've done better than a lot of the so-called spiritual people have done. And why? Because of following natural principles and things that God has established. There's established law by God in the natural. And how you do things and what you do. They're established and they're in the Word. But they're not taught. And so people, you know, we emphasize one side of things. It's okay to emphasize. There's certain things that we teach at times. We emphasize certain things, but you can't make them. You know, we make, you know, like the areas of prosperity. It's lopsided. It's crazy. It's all taught mostly on the spiritual side of it. Giving's going to make you rich. That ain't the only thing in this thing of it working. It's not the only thing. And if you teach that side alone, now the Lord told me in 2014, He said for the preachers and ministers, it's worked well. To do that because they get offerings out of people. He ain't too happy about what they do. They preach a lot. He told me this 2014 that ministers are fleecing the flock. They teach one side which benefits them. And he said they're not benefiting the flock. He's interested in the church. The reason ministers are given gifts, they're not for them and their benefit and just to profit them. It's supposed to bless the people and help them. And there's much as men too much over on the other side, on that side of it, and hasn't dealt with people and the blessing that God and what God has established. And we want to see this because we're dealing with the areas of doing. If there's things we need to do, there's areas of life to do that'll bless your life and help you. And that's what we want to do. I want people to be blessed. There's things in the Word. Now, one of the things we're going to talk today about, and it's a four-letter word. And especially, it's new. People don't like to use this four-letter word. It's a terrible W-O-R-K, work. Now, we're going to talk about this because even in Spirit-filled people don't talk about it right. We think work's a problem. God created you to work. If you don't like work, I'm just going to tell you bluntly, you're out of the will of God. Now, we don't like that. This is in America. America don't like this. I've learned this. God taught me about work, and I'm going to talk because, number one, before I was born again, I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company and that stuff, and, you know, you gripe and complain along. You complain about going to work. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to. First thing, when I got saved, God started dealing with me about me and my attitude about things. And I can say this, so that was, I learned. I got born again in 1980. I left Reese Candy Company in 1987 to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. And till I left there, I liked working. God taught me. I started getting in line with because God dealt with me about work. And see, we don't deal with this. The Bible is distinct about work. And it says specific things. In fact, commands you. Oh, this really gets ugly. See, people think that our life is down here and the only reason we work is so we can someday retire and get money to go. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're out of the will of God. You're thinking. You're flaky. You're flaking. And we need to tell people because we've gotten off base. There's a lot of things out here that are right now that I see people like, you know, economists and things are right. And they said, the retirement idea of America is destroying America. Everybody wants to go quit and sit down and relax and have vacation all the time. There's no nation who has ever stood has done that. We have people from other nations coming in. They're making all of our products now. We don't make them here. They make them someplace else. Why? Try to keep us so we have less to do. Let's make more money, less to do. It's not the plan of God. It's not how God's plan works. He's never designed it that way. But it's man's idea. Every country, Rome fell because of it. Rome had everybody and his brother doing everything for them. Till one day they took the people that were doing it for them, took them over. We're having it here in our nation. And we have this whole idea and concept that work is bad. You need to get this out of your system. Work is a place that God blesses you. Work is a place that God has designed where He can bless your life and do things for you. Hallelujah. God has established it. So you want to get to the point. It don't mean you like everything you do. It doesn't matter liking everything you do to work. You know, I hear this terrible saying, well, you know, if you find a job that you really like, you'll never work. Well, then you'll never work any time in your life because there's no job in this world that you're going to have everything in it you like to do. If you find one of those, you're probably on vacation. You ain't working. I hear that stuff all the time in these cliches that are absolutely stupid. Nobody is going to find a job that everything in it you like. You know, in life, you know, I'm not crazy about mowing my yard, but I mow the thing, you know. If God said, do you really want to do that? I'd say, no, I don't really like to do that. But it's a need to be done. You know what? I'm going to do it because I need to do it. It needs to be done. And you know what? I ain't going to grump about it. I'm going to go do it because, and you know what? I'm doing it. And you know what? God will bless me.
Hallelujah.
Me, I'm one of these bless me guys. I like that bless me side stuff.
Amen.
People say, well, I don't want to do anything to just get blessed. I do. I want to find out what you do to get blessed, and I want to do that.
Amen.
And so working is a place of blessed. Don't curse your blessing. Many people are constantly cursing their blessing by griping and moaning about their jobs all the time. Moaning about what they got to do. Well, this, that, griping and groaning, cursing their blessing. When I started off, we'll get to some scriptures here, but just the Holy Ghost is moving in this. When I first started, you know, was in Christianity and that stuff and walking in things, is work to me was just a drudge. It was something that you had to do. Well, then I went in and went in the ministry. Here God turns around. After going to Bible school and everything, coming out, the Lord had never spoke to me one time. Had me go into the missions group in Rhema. I mean, specifically spoke to me about it. I went into it and I leave, you know, and I tell you, I'm hyped. I'm going on a mission field. I want to go on a mission field, man. I'm all hyped up. And the Lord tells me to come back to this area, and I didn't want to come back to this area. But God said, come back. So you just do the will of God, you know. I didn't gripe and complain. You know, even Wanda knew. Wanda said, you know, we liked where we were at the time. We liked it very, it would have been very easy. I mean, there's people, you know, in Rhema on the staff. They wanted us to stay there and work there. They wanted us to stay, you know, stay here, work, you know. Me, personally, I'd rather work for somebody else and go do it. I like that. You know, anything you need done, I'll do it. You know, I'll just, you need something done? I'll tell you what you need, whatever God's given you a vision, I'll help you get there. What do you need done? I like that. I enjoy that. The Lord said, I want you to start a church when He came back here. He didn't tell me. I'd never once the Lord ever spoke to me about being pastor. Never one time. See, this one thing is a walk of life of faith. I don't know if these people know everything out in advance somewhere. God don't ever deal with me like that. He just, you know, puts me and tell me to go do something somewhere and go there. Then I found out what this is about. And sometimes you went, well, this isn't really what I wanted. But you learn to do it. There's one thing is I learned when God sent me here. If the Lord asked, I didn't want to be a pastor. Told the Lord didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't want to do that. But it was His will. It was His will. So I said this. I said, number one, if God called me here, then this is my place, a blessing. This is it. This is the place of my milk and honey. This is the place God must supply for me here. He put me here. Do you know where you were supposed to be? Or you just picked, maybe you picked your spot. Maybe you picked where you wanted to work. See, sometimes people do that. They pick, you know, sometimes God will allow you to pick wherever you want to work. He'll just do that. Sometimes God has a specific thing He wants you to do. And so God told me, so I said, well, Lord, I'm here. So this is the place you're going to have to bless me. And no matter what goes on, you're going to have to supply my money here. You're going to have to take care of me. You're going to have to look after me here. That's your job. Number one, my job isn't to take care of me all the time. My job is to do His will. That's my number one job, is to do His will. And if I'm doing His will, He has to take care of me. So I decided, okay, I'm going to do your will. I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to work at what you told me to. I'm going to do that. This is what I'm doing. You're going to have to bless me here. I knew this for a fact. He would do that. I'd been around him long enough to learn this stuff. He will take care of things because that's what he does. He don't tell you and send you into something. If you're at a place and you, this is where I'm supposed to be, then get it within yourself. God blesses me here. This is the place he will take care of me. If he wants something to change, he will show me. Amen. But while I'm here and I'm in this, this is the place where he blesses me. Now, work is from God. And so I found that out and I did that. I sat in it and God has been ever faithful for doing it. See, I can sit and God will take care of me. I'm in the place where he wants me to be. Now, I want to read you scriptures because we go back to the book of Genesis. I want to read to you in the beginning because we want to go to the beginning of creation. What did God do about man and this working thing? We want to find out about it. It's something that people don't teach. They teach all kind of things from creation, but this is one part. It's a good skip over. It's a good skip over. I don't know why, but years ago, when God began to talk to me, when I first got saved, I started seeing these things in the Bible. I started seeing this stuff about working and things. But listen to this. Genesis, the second chapter in verse 5, it says this. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Well, sure enough, Adam and Eve were sitting around the garden, and they were just eating fruit and laying around and not doing anything, and they were just on vacation all the time. God had planned for a guy to have a job before the job was even created. Ha! You know what? The average Christian, 90% of Christians are going to be surprised and they get to heaven to find out we ain't going to be sitting on clouds and, you know, playing ukuleles and harps and whatever else. And we're going to be doing stuff. Why? This side is a picture of that side. See, when God made the tabernacle, he made it of things, it's a shadow of things that are on the other side. That's what it always is. It's just so we can see things from this side to what that side's like. So we knew this. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm going to have a job. When I get to heaven, hallelujah, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be blessed. Hallelujah. I'm going to have something that I'm responsible to do. I'll tell you what, I like responsibility. I never understand these knuckleheads that want a job that I don't have a responsibility. You have a responsibility, they don't pay you much. You're stupid. Give me responsibility. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll do it and I'll get blessed. It works. Take responsibility. Don't run from responsibility. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, be like your master. He didn't run from responsibility. Glory to God. And was he a blessing or what? Hallelujah. That's what we want to do. But see, God had planned. Now look at this. Look at the 15th verse of that same chapter. It says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to take and to keep it. Now I want you to see that word tend there is the same word that's translated till in the other, to till the garden. He was to till it and to keep it. To keep means to take care of it, to look over it, to watch it. That's what it's about. That was, he had a job. Adam had a job in the garden. He had to take care of that garden. God didn't give him a garden and say, okay, it's all, and you're just going to sit down here and, you know, wave palm branches over yourself and cool and really nice and you're just going to sit here and eat fruit. It's just wonderful. Wasn't the intent. See, God was planning on work from the beginning. Hallelujah. So you need to understand this and get this on your verse. Work is good. Work is good. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, people can get in excess of work and get out there and get to be workaholics, you know, and stuff like that. You can do that. There's people like that. Work, you know, if they could work 7 days a week and well, they just do it. Well, there's something wrong with your mind. Because it's going to affect you. You know, everything has a balance to it. But work is good. And there's nothing wrong with hard work. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I hear people make these statements and that somebody's working hard. Well, they say, we don't work hard, work smart. It's like, well, yeah, I see most of the people that work smart, somebody else is doing the hard work. They're not. Well, they won't do it. Somebody else is doing it. There's nothing wrong with you. I get the point. You have to work hard. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you, those kinds of things. We get this ideas about things and work and the way we talk about it. We don't talk about work as being a nice thing, good thing. It's something you want to get out of, something you want to do less of, something you want to get away from. Well, you're trying to get away from the blessing of God over on one side saying over here, oh man, I'm giving money to get blessed. And on the other side, I'm doing everything I can to get away from the blessing. Because see, I don't like this side over here, the work side. I want that one there I put money in the offering plate. I'm sorry. That's not it. That's not the whole ball game. Hallelujah. See, there's blessing in work. And see, you want to get your ideas and you want to get your thoughts and your ideas over there and how you talk about it. The reason people don't like work is because that's what they say all the time. They're always complaining about it. They're complaining about doing it. They're complaining about what they have to do. If it's hard, it's difficult, it's this and that. And there's a constant complaint. I always think about this because the older generations before me, you know, I'm getting up in that older generation part, you know, but there's people before me. My parents never complained about the idea of working and stuff. They were always glad to have jobs. My dad told me back in the Depression when he was working, his young man, swinging a 20-pound sledgehammer from sun up till sundown, breaking rocks up on the highway. Rocks, he said, about this big, and you'd break them down to one-inch stones. Sun up to sundown, swinging 50 cents a day. And I talked to him about that. You know, my dad said, never complained about it. He said, we were just glad to have work. We were glad to have work. They didn't complain at all. You had work. No matter how hard it was, you had work. You were glad. Why? Because work provided something for you. He could do from that work, take care of his family. He was glad of it. See, it's not how we think today. It's not the thought of America today. America don't run like that today. I'm going to tell you, the so-called conservatives have a lot of socialism in them. The idea of we're trying to get away, we're trying to get less and less, more leisure. Has more leisure helped America? No, it hasn't. More leisure has not helped America at all. You know? See, Mike and them, they got some time, and what they did, went spend it with God. And I'll tell you what, 90% of Christians think that's definitely work. Nah, I'd rather go to the place where I work and do this stuff. They don't want to do that. Take a whole week spent with God, that's a little bit out there. Boy, well, you know what? That's laboring in an area that you need in life or benefit for you. Amen. And that's a and I'll tell you what, it is a labor because people don't like to do it. Amen. It's a labor people don't like to do, and it is a labor. It requires a lot of your flesh. Because you know what, when you're doing that, you always, your mind will always come up with 47 things you ought to be doing and taking care of. You know, I can tell you, see here in the third week here, I'm going to be going down to meetings, down to Gatlin, the Pigeon Forge here to some meetings. And my mind's going to be all the things that I got to do. And when you come out, your mind wants to go there. No, you go and you sit down, you spend time. Hallelujah. Listen to the word. You sit, get away just where you got it. Focus and get you. And my, God always speaks to me there. God always, I always get things there. I always get, and you need to do that. You just need to do that. You need to get yourself where you don't do those things. Like Mike said, the money is spent. Man, I've spent a lot of money over the years putting the word in me. I've spent tons of money buying books and traveling and doing things and going. I've spent a lot of money at this stuff. I got a lot of investment. This is one thing as I find out. There's a lot of people that don't have much investment in it, but they keep trying to get from me what I invested in. And think they're going to end up where I am. You're not. Amen. You got to invest in it. There's no other way to do it. You got to invest in it. You know, and that's like laboring. If you work on a job, you're investing into something. God didn't design work for you to invest into and not bring payback to you. God designed it as a blessing. You know what? My parents and their willingness to work and to do things was a blessing on our family and taught us. You know, there's 9 kids in our family, and we didn't sit around and have to be taken care of by the government or nothing like that. My family definitely weren't rich. We'd have been considered poor when we were young. My parents could have probably gotten things from the government and didn't take it. If they would have. But they worked and they took care of us and they did really good. they did really good. And they put into us this idea of working and laboring. So they put it into us. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. And they didn't sit around and complain work was a bad thing. No, you get a job and you get money. You get to do some things. You can start to do that. Today it isn't like that. No, you just stay home with mom and dad. And they'll work and they'll take care of you and raise you up to where now you expect the government to do it. To be like mom and dad did, you know. They taught you to be lazy and so... And they took care of you. They sent you to school and you never had to work. Went the whole way through college and never had to work, thinking they were being nice. I get to focus, really focus on my studies. Studies have always proved this. Students who work while going to school always do better than the students who just go. Always. Every study that's ever been done on that, and there's been thousands of them over the years, always have proved. The students, why? You put something into something to get it, you're going to get more out of it than the leisure one who mom and dad pay for it all. Woo! Good preaching. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're laboring. Well, in Genesis 3 and verses 22, it talks what happened when man sinned. Man sinned, verse 22, it says, then the Lord said, verse 22 of chapter 3, the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat of it and live forever. Therefore, the Lord sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Work didn't stop. Sent him out. He got a job. Hallelujah. Why? You know what? This is God's plan, because we're going to find out. God wasn't cursing him, sending him out to work, because through his labors, God's going to bless the man. He's going to bless the man through his labors. He's going to bless him. That's what God is. Now, what I want you to see this is, we want to look at, is about work, because we want, well, let's go to the New Testament we're going to look at, because there's things that are said in the New Testament that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, we're going to start at verse 11. That's 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And we're going to look at starting at verse 11, what Paul says here. Now, these things here is like the Lord had gotten into me. See, like I said, when I worked at Reese's, when I was there as a sinner, you know, you griped about the job all the time. And I can truthfully say this. I knew that the Lord had called me from the night that I got born again, that I was called to the full-time ministry. I knew it. I just knew that I knew that I was. But, you know, you do the will of God. And, you know, the Lord told me, after I got saved, he told me, he said, you're going to be here at Reese's for a while yet. You're going to be here. I said, fine. I said, whatever. I said, in other words, this was my place where God was going to take care of me here. I was doing His will, where He wants me to be. He said, you're going to be here. So I knew this. I ain't moving from here till He said so. Whether I like it or not, whether I feel, this is where His place is. So in that period of time, He taught me about work and on my job and stuff, and dealt with me about my attitudes. You know, one thing is I learned from Him is attitudes, everything. Wrong attitudes just destroy. I don't care how much you do and you think about right, wrong attitudes. And I had to learn to change my attitude about my job and the people, especially the people I worked for. I worked for some people that were pretty darn stupid. I mean, they caused more problems than they did help the company. And they were in charge. I mean, they lost the company a lot of money by doing dumb things and having us do dumb things. But I learned over time. It's their job. Lord showed me. They make the decisions. That's their problem. If it don't work, it ain't your problem. That's not your problem if it don't work. It's not yours. I've learned this. They don't ask me about what is going on. I don't say anything about it. They ask and want to know. I just tell them the truth of what I know. If they don't like it, I don't care. It don't matter. It don't matter. It's their. They get the last shot. It's their company. You're working for somebody else. It's their company, not yours. You're paid for the hours that you work there. That's what you're supposed to do. What they do with the company is up to them. It belongs to them. Just like you don't want them messing in your life. If you want to talk about them and in their place, they have every right to come over and talk to you about your place. If you don't like that, keep it closed. See, I learned that. Because why? I was blabbing at them all the time, their stuff and their things. God taught me, no. You just go to work for them and you work. My dad had a good thing. He said, you went to work for somebody, said, if you don't like what's going on, you leave. They didn't ask you to come there. Woo! A lot of Christians need to hear this message. He's a wise man. He said, you go do something else. They didn't ask you to come. You asked to come there. So you need to get over it. Everybody wants to go to a place and make them change. Well, if you're so smart, start your own business and do it. You get to call all the shots. You know, one of the ways you learn to work, especially to be good in this Christian walk, is working for people who sometimes can make it a little hard for you. Because you're never going to be a person of faith and an easy life. Ain't going to ever happen to you. That ain't where it's at. It's learning to walk by faith when things ain't going right. That's the whole thing. Is faith is about changing stuff. If you're working in perfect, you don't need no faith. Don't take a bit of faith to live in perfect. But you live around there, you do stuff, and you just have to learn. And I had to learn. I'll tell you, this was hard on my flesh. You know, I don't understand people got saved and God's led them into all kind of things. They're supposed to be so glorious. But God's never talked to them about their flesh. I had to learn about what God dealt with me about my flesh, what I had to do in my attitudes, about my place I worked, people I worked with. I had to change a lot of stuff. Amen. You know, I was always just pull the gun and shoot them. That'll fix it. They are no, because you know there's somebody else will take their place. So I learned, say, hey, hold it out here. God started to teach me in my attitude how I had to do working around, and you know they're calling shots, let them do what they want. You know, I was over people and they'd come and complain, and I'd say, look, this is what they want us to do, and I said, we're going to do it. That's the way it is. I said, if you don't do what they want to do, they can fire you. So I said, and I'll be the guy to fire you. I said, it don't matter. I said, I work for them, not for you. I'm not employed for you. I was in supervision. I was under the employment for them, not for the people. They had to understand that. That if they said to do something, my job was to see that they did that. They don't need me if I don't do that. They don't need me. They don't need me in charge. I'm looking out to see that they're what they want. I tell the people, what does it matter if they do it wrong? We just get paid again to fix it. So we'll all get some overtime and they pay us a lot of money on overtime. So I said, we'll get it fixed. We'll fix it for them. And I said, well, it don't work. They can't come out and say something to us. But I said, if we turn around and do it our way and didn't say, we can be in trouble. But we do it their way. And if their way ain't right, hey, that's their problem. It's not mine. And I said, this way I go lay down. I have to worry at night about things. I just stick with my part of my job. And God taught me how to make. I started going to work and liking it. I started going to work and I wasn't stressed. I was all those years before that stressed out about work. After that, when the Lord told me to go to Rhema, I was just as happy to stay at Rhema. I could have stayed at Rhema. I could have stayed during work. I'd have been happy. I'd have been like one out of a million in the plan. Everybody else just, people are miserable as crazy. I don't, you know what? This is no lie. When I run into people that I used to work with, I like to bypass them. Because they will be retired and still complaining about things. This is what happens to you. When you get to be this grumpy person at work all the time, complain about work, you think you retire, you're going to be a nice person. No, you ain't. People going to have to put up with you criticizing everything about where you used to work. You'll still be talking about that, what they did back yonder. I see people. I ran into a guy about, maybe 8 months ago. I haven't seen him for 30 years. He's been retired like 10 years from Reese's. And this guy, the first thing he said to me, complaining about how Reese's is, I said, you don't even work here. What are you complaining about? I said, who cares? Well, I have friends back there. Well, break that friendship. Who needs that griping and complaining in your life? Who needs that? Sitting there making 20-some dollars an hour complaining how hard life is for them. Just want to cast the devil out of them. Some call themselves Christians. You just want to cast the devil out of them. They're full of it. They're destroying their own blessing. I watch these people. Health problems. Health problems like crazy. Believe in God. Christians trying to believe God to straighten out their health. They ain't getting it straightened out till they get straightened out. You can't shoot yourself in the foot and just keep saying, God heal me. God heal me. God heal me. Ain't working. ain't working. You can't do these things. This is good preaching, folks. Amen. And I learned this because this is part of divine health and all those things. It runs into this stuff. It's because you don't want to go to there to that place. Because, you know, there's always something we can gripe about. There's always something we can complain about. I mean, there's just a million things. There's all kind of stuff in this world. But you've got to be very careful in these areas, especially when you have to, when you're going to work every day. It's a hard spot to be in because, you know, you're going to have fine things to complain about in that step. But you've got to develop yourself spiritually that those things don't overcome you. Amen. That what overcomes you is the Word of God. That's what's overcoming in you. Like Mike said, you take time aside. See, that helps you overcome some things. That helps you because you're going to face problems. You're going to face things. What are you doing about facing them other than just doing natural stuff? And are you doing anything? You're setting yourself a time to deal with your own flesh? You know, most people, like, if they have a problem in their life, you need to understand this. Your number one major problem is your flesh. That is your number one major problem. Number one, your flesh. When I learned, God had to deal with me in that. My number one flesh, when I got saved, God showed me it wasn't Wanda. You know, I thought, boy, she straightened out. Things will work out really good. First thing God taught me, you got to straighten out, boy. When I started dealing with me about straightening out my life, I was my number one problem. You need to understand that. Your life is turning out today by your choices, not somebody else's. It's yours. Things you're choosing to do or not to do. Things you don't want to encounter, deal with in your life or something like that. I'm not throwing rocks at you. Hey, I deal with the same thing all the time. And you have to learn to deal with, hey, you know, I got Brother Hagin's little book that says, Don't Blame God, most wonderful book I ever got. I learned from that book immediately. Ed was his problem. Wasn't God. God's trying to help me. I was the guy with the gun, kept pulling the trigger at my foot. When I found that out, I said, man, I got to make some changes here. And so, it's one of the things is, you know, people going along saying, well, in life, what is it do I have to do? What is it? Dealing in the areas. One of the things I found out, I never complained about work. I always looked about, I thank God, I'm 73 years old, I got good health, I can work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I'm excited. Amen. I'm excited, I can work. Hallelujah! I can have a job. Amen. You know, I can go do something. I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. You don't know how many people out here would love to be able to do it. Now, there's a load of people out here trying to get out of it. But there's loads of people. Hallelujah. Well, in Thessalonians here we have, Thessalonians 4, verse 11, it says, Paul writing, and he said, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. Oh, and here's an ugly part. To mind your own business. Now it's getting ugly, folks. Oh, no, my job is to go to work and have my nose in everybody's business and what everybody ought to be doing. That's my job. Now, look, I'm the only guy who ever did that. None of you ever did that. It was just me. Hallelujah. See, that's what the Lord had to teach me concerning the people over top of me. I had to mind my own business concerning things. They had to deal with their thing. It's amazing the things God protected me and blessed me in because of learning to let those people do their thing and not me doing that, learning to do that. Now, let's say this. Now, and to work with your own hands as we command you. Paul commanded people to work. Paul commanded Christians to work. We don't do that today in the church world. We teach all this stuff on prosperity and all this stuff. We don't teach people and command people. We have all these ministries to help people that ain't working. Going completely, say, we're word people. Yeah. I learned this years ago. The word people ain't as much a word people as they say they are. There's a lot they don't like to look at. It's just as easy. You can get people to like you and fill a place giving everybody what they want. Amen. But we don't command people to work. We don't do that. Listen to what he says. This is the reason he says he commands you. He said that you may walk properly toward those who are on the outside. Do you know the command? You working is walking properly to the people on the outside. You're showing them something. You can talk your Christian all you want. You can do all these kind of things. You got to show people. Amen. Christians, I'm going to tell you what, I ain't got time for Christians, don't work. Looking for somebody else to take care of them. I just tell them, you get a job. You want me to help you? You do something. I'll help you. But you ain't doing nothing. I ain't got nothing to help you with. Get a job. Why? You're commanded by the Word. This is not a suggestion.
Amen.
This is a command in the Word of God to work. A command. Why? Because of the respect we want to have with the people on the outside. See, my parents, they lived a life where they worked and did stuff. It shed a light on us as kids growing up. It affected our lives. It's a good thing. Affecting the lives of others by doing the right thing. Don't sit around and complain to people. Don't sit around and complain to kids because you've got to work. You're destroying their lives. You're putting something into them. Tell them work's bad, work's bad. Oh, we got to go to work. Yeah, sit around and complain, work, work, work all the time and do that kind of stuff, you know. And it was like with Wanda and I, we learned and got saved. We come home from work. We didn't sit around and gripe and come sit and gripe and complain about work. We didn't do those things. We didn't. That wasn't what we did. You know, we decided, you know, you don't bring your garbage home. But be very careful about those things, because you bring your garbage home, and after a while, there's some people, man, they live their whole life, you know. Like a guy said, first thing he talked to me is about complaining about Reese Candy coming around. I'm thinking, this is an introduction. After all these years, it's like, the only thing I was thinking, boy, I need to get away from him. You know? This guy's messed up. Get away. And his purpose, why? It's what you're portraying at the outside, and this is the purpose of your working. That you may lack nothing. This is God's plan that you work and and you get good taken care of. Work is so you can get taken care of. This is the plan of God. So see, God's involved in this thing. If I'm going to work, then He has placed himself in some responsibility concerning me obeying his word, following the command. It's my command to follow that is to him to bless my life so I'm taken care of. See, we got to get this in our mind. You know, everybody's sitting around and complain about the employer. They think it's all up to him. No, there's a lot, big part of it is about you and God. That you're just taking your part and throwing it out here. It's all their responsibility to look after me. It's all their responsibility. No, it's me and God. It's about my faith. See, I've always gotten over it. Like God taught me. God's going to bless me. I'm going to be blessed all the time. I'm blessed coming in and going out. I don't care. Don't matter where I work. I'm blessed coming in and going out. Ask Wanda about when we were at Raymond. I mean, I'm making minimum wage. We're getting blessed out here. I started following what God said to do. Money started coming to us. Doesn't even, the employer wouldn't pay me. Hallelujah. But God, I'm working with God.
Amen.
And God has to bless me if I'm in His will. And He did. Started having so much money coming into us that I'd forget to pick my paychecks up at work. Why? Because we always had money. So God knows how to do it. God knows how to bless. Getting in the will of God is how you view about work. You know, people got to go to school. You know, I was going to school full time and working 45 hours a week. Man, it leaves you loads of time to do all kinds of stuff. Should I tell you how God thinks about working? I'm working all these hours and doing this stuff, and I told the Lord, I said, you know, I want to be able to get involved in something in the ministry, but I'm working all the time in school and I'm working. But I said, I want to get involved in something. He told me, now, I had a Wednesday night, I had free, my Wednesday night, but I'm working. I mean, like I go to church on Sunday after Sunday service is over. I go to Sunday to church and then go off to work. So he told me, he said, I want you to go Wednesday night and I want you to volunteer in the parking thing. I'm there. Lord, I get one day off, and I can go to church and don't have to go any place afterwards, and I ain't going to school that day but getting home. And the Lord said, no, I want you to go and volunteer. I thought, He's asking me to do more. See, most people don't know God. They think God's always going to relieve every bit of pressure off of you on things. You know, there's some things you're never going to grow in until you get pressure.
Amen.
You ain't never growing until pressure comes. All this thing is that, well, you know, everybody's trying to get out of pressure. Hasn't that worked well in our society, everybody getting out of pressure? Nobody feels pressure to do a darn thing. they don't feel any pressure to take care of themselves. They expect other people. No, no, because pressure is good. So God put out thought, I have all this, and He wants me to work more. Best things I ever did. We turned around, and I started doing that, started working. We ended up that summer between, coming up on that summer, the summer between my first and second year of school. Never had this happen in my life. Since I was 10 years old, I've been working on jobs. In the summer, when I was in school and that stuff, we worked on farms and stuff. You did it. You worked as kids. You just grew, you worked. That's what you did. You earned some money and that kind of stuff and did things. And the Lord told me that summer school was over. He said, I don't want you. I want you to take the summer off and spend it with your family. I almost fell over. I never had that happen. I never had a summer off. I never had such a thing. And this was, but that was something to get used to. And he said, I want you to spend time with them. See, I couldn't really spend time with one of the kids. I was all the time. I was busy. School's going the whole time and I'm working and I'm doing it. But I'm following him. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I believe a big deal of that was when he told me that Wednesday night, go do something. I want you to do something there. See, sometimes God's going to put you in a place. God will test you. And this is going to determine whether you pass or flunk the test. Many people are right on the verge of getting a great blessing, and the test comes, and they flunk the test because they just throw it out. Well, I ain't doing that. Folks, it's good preaching. Oh, hallelujah. But we're showing the world, but God has this plan. God's plan is you're working so you don't lack anything. He doesn't want you to lack nothing. See, I had to learn this when God taught me. I could not sit around and just look. Now, God used the companies, the places I worked for, as a certain source, my own source, but you can't tie yourself to that. You can't hold them. If you do, your faith is little, and you're just going to always be in that misery spot. Don't go to that place. Don't go to that place. Don't go to that place. See, it is much easier to look at someone that you can see than look at a God you can't see. This is why people have so much trouble with faith. Because we're looking to a God we can't see, and it's so easy to look at that employer you can see. And his life is supposed to be to take care of you all the time. To make sure you have enough, to make sure. Sometimes some employers, God will really use the employer to do that, but sometimes he does it. That isn't the way it works. Sometimes you're with an employer. I was with an employer, and they wouldn't take care of me at all when I was at Rhema. Wouldn't give me raises. I was the best worker they had. I'm not exaggerating. I worked good, and I worked hard, and they found out when I left. Manager ended up fired over it because he couldn't get nobody to take my place. He had it up to three guys and couldn't take my place. I worked hard. But see, God taught me back at HB Race Candy Company when I wasn't working near as hard as I did in that place. That place, I made a lot less money and worked a whole lot harder. But he wouldn't let me have a lousy attitude. He dealt with me in my attitude because my attitude started to stink toward the guy. And he dealt with me because why? I wasn't working for him no more. I was working for that guy. And I was having everything that guy would do to me. I had no peace, no joy, no rest. No, I didn't have any of that. No! It wasn't until the Lord said to me, why don't you work for me? And I knew what he meant. See, here I am knowing better. Mr. Faith Ed. Not walking in faith with God. And I just, that night, I said, that's it, Lord, I'm working for you. You've always taken care of me. You've always done good. So, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Changed my attitude. You know what? I was no longer mad at that guy. I wasn't mad at him no more. Hallelujah. Why? Because, you know, naturally, he was my employer, but Jesus is my Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord said, go to work for me. He said, I pay good. That's what he said to me. I said, well, glory to God. See, I've been putting all my weight on this guy, on this place where I work. You know what? That wasn't right to do. I should have never. You don't ever do that to people. Even you go to a doctor. Quit putting such weight on that doctor and your expectancy to him to take care of you. Use some faith. Woo! Good preaching.
Amen.
We shouldn't do it. See, I learned that. You start putting pressure on people. See, that's what ministers do. Lord, talk to me about this. Put pressure on people for money. He said, they don't have faith in me. They keep pressuring people all the time for money. Pressure, pressure, pressure. He said, they don't need my lordship. It's constantly pressure all the time to the people to do something. Them to do, them to take care. That's your job to take care of me. No, it ain't. It ain't your job to take care of me. It's the Lord's job. He called me this ministry. You didn't. See, we need to get over that thing. It was like my dad said, well, you don't like it, leave. Hallelujah. See, we don't put pressure on you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If God wants to put pressure on you, He may. Hallelujah. He may deal with you. Sometimes He puts pressure on me. But it's not my job to go around and put pressure on them. God commanded to work. Now listen what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, back to these same people. They had a problem there in this church about working. He said, my God, that must have been America. They had trouble about working. I know, see, I knew about having this bad attitude at work. That's when I got saved, that's where I was at, this bad attitude about work. I didn't look at work as a thing, and I didn't look at it as something that affected my spiritual life and being with God and walking and how it affected my faith. I never looked at it at that. I had no, Brother Hagin never preached that to me. You know, he preached things about attitude. They never dealt direct with the working and doing stuff and that stuff. I don't know. I'm just one of those, you just talk plain about it. Get right down to it. You know, we can talk the spiritual side of things, but let's talk plain about the natural of what we're doing over here in the natural. How does my spiritual life and that natural life, how they work together in effect, because this is an important thing. This is about our faith. Now, in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 7 says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we did not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. You see what Paul's doing here. Let's stop there. We're going to read on. Paul's saying, look, Paul had a right or authority to ask them to support him for what he had done. But he sees they need an example. Why? They're living in a society like America where work is bad. People ain't working. He said, what I'm doing, I'm going to be example. I want to show work. This is what you're supposed to do. So he didn't take that from them and look for support. I'm going to show them how to work. This is what you do. Paul laid aside his authority to be an example and say, hey, here's your work. And he went to work. Being an example. Don't complain about work and gripe about work. Be a good worker to be an example to other people. Be an example to other people. You might have a right to certain things, but I tell you what, make your life an example. Be an example to people. Amen. Hallelujah. Be thankful. Thank God I got a job. Thank God I can go to work. Thank God I have something. Thank God, you know, I have income. I can be taken care of. God wants me not to lack things. This is God's working. Now listen what he goes on to say. For even when you were with me, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. That's a command. That is never preached, even in the Spirit-filled churches. Why? Oh, we're Word people. We need to get back the Word again. The church has helped ruin the nation. We're the people supposed to preach this stuff. We're the people supposed to do this. We set up the moral caliper of the nation. And we haven't. All we preach is give money, give money, give money, give money. It's going to make you rich. It's going to make you rich. Give money, give money. And we've done it till that's been wrong. A good blessing of God, we've turned it into something rotten. We've got to stop these things and get back over to the thing. Get right about this stuff. Hallelujah. I love to give money. I love to give. Hallelujah. But I love to work. You know, Wando told me to slow down sometimes. Don't just let that alone and go to... Well, I don't mind working, you know. I'm just so glad I can. I don't have a walker. Thank God. I feel sorry, people, whatever they're doing and people going through, glory to God, I can walk and walk up straight and go do stuff. And thank the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can toil hard. I'll tell you, I'm glad I can work at it. He said, verse 11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. See, not working is disorderly. It's being disorderly. The order of the church is people work. That's the order of the church. Christians are told to work. That's the first thing they ought to start teaching. People come in the church, get born again. Number one, dealing people there is about work. The church supports and helps too many people that don't need no help. They need to get off their lazy rear ends and do something. They need to teach them faith. If they go to work, God will bless their lives. We need to teach this stuff. No, you give money, God will bless your life. Well, I'm sorry. How well is that working? You know, right now in America, they said that the areas of giving. They said that less people are giving. Christians are giving in America. They're giving less. They said there's more money coming in, but it's from a smaller group of people. This is why some people get blessed. You know, I see this all the time. People, you know, they talk about, you know, their lives are having, they're always got problems and this and financially, this and that and the other thing. Well, what you been doing in your life? You been following the Bible, you know? You been trusting the America to take care of you. You've been trusting the, where you been in this thing? You're following the plan of God. Yeah. See, the plan of God is to work. He goes, they walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command. Oh, this dirty word again. I didn't know dirty words came in long words. I thought they were all short words. Command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness. Work in quietness. That's what God had to deal with me on. I didn't work in quietness. I was griping and moaning and groaning. That's what I was doing. I was griping and moaning and groaning. Yeah. You're treating me wrong. Work in quietness and eat their own bread. My God. You're commanded to eat your own bread. My Lord. Whoever thought a thing in the American church? What are we going to do? I mean, all the feeding programs. Because there's so many hurting people. People are going to hurt as long as they don't follow God.
Amen.
Hurting is going to increase and increase and increase and increase. Mm-hmm. See, get your idea. Thank God I can work. Thank God I've got a good mind. I can work. My thoughts. Hallelujah. I can produce money. I can be a blessing. I'm producing things. Hallelujah. I'm able. Over the years of practicing in this, Wanda and I have arisen to we're able to give quite a bit. Hallelujah. Today, because of rising up in this and continually following us. It didn't happen overnight to us. But we labored at it and we worked. We gave even when it was hard to give. We labored at working so we could do more and do things. Hallelujah. And you know, lots of times we can give more very easily. Wasn't like it. We labored hard to the sweating of our brow sometimes in the area. We're sort of stepping out here and giving, and we only have this left. But we're gonna put this out here, you know, a little bit of sweat on your brow. I mean, just hallelujah. We was laboring, glory to God. But as for you, brethren, he said, do not. Now listen. Here's where this scripture is used. But as you, brother, do not grow weary in doing good. Did you hear that? What's the context of that used in? Working. Now we can pull that out and use it on anything that, but specifically, it is never used for that. It's never used for working. Never. It's never taught in context. I never even heard Brother Hagin use it in context. I love him. Hallelujah. You know, but see, it wasn't his job to teach everything, but people aren't teaching. They're not teaching these things. No, you don't grow weary and well-doing about working. Working is a good thing. Don't grow weary. It's a good thing. You're doing good. You're doing good. See, get that out of your mind. I'm doing good. See, you look out here, people ain't work. Well, you know, why should I work? They don't work. See, you go there. No, don't get weary and well-doing. Don't get weary over nothing. You keep working. Work in that area. Hallelujah. You'll be blessed. If you don't faint, you'll be blessed. Glory to God. And he says in it, now listen, it gets uglier here. It says, and if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle or in this letter, if you don't obey this thing or this command, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Oh, my God. This working thing's getting ugly. This is now, folks, this is written to Christians about working. See, this we need to teach them. Somebody ain't working, you don't take care of them. When a person uses themselves as a term as a Christian, they ain't working. Sorry. Get yourself to work. You know, somebody out here and that stuff, there's people maybe sick, they can't do certain things. That's one thing to do that. There's too many people. You can't even tell. I'm people, and there ain't no reason. They have a medical problem, but ain't nothing serious. They need to get off their lazy rear end and do something. You know, we got a neighbor lady for years now. She has had a terrible back problem. She takes insulin. She's diabetic and insulin. She went to work every day. That woman would get up and work every day. She went to work. She didn't miss work. All the time. In the winter, no matter how it was or what, she'd go to work. And I think all these scumbags and even Christians sitting around, what am I laying about? You know, you just want to knock them out. You just so your head's going to bother you when I'm done. I'm not telling them. You know what? We have another lady lives down behind us. Her husband died. She works, you know, part-time down at Walmart. Now, she's way past the age of retirement. But she's down there working. She has a hunchback and that stuff. You see her driving in her car. She works. Don't tell me these people. I'm tired of these flaky people call themselves Christians and they ain't no Christian in it. They are nothing but self-centered, selfish people. They never gave their life to Jesus. Their life's about themselves.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
And they're running around, people trying to take care of these people. And the church has made a mess of this thing. They haven't commanded these people. They haven't stopped this stuff. Because the church is full of a bunch of cowards that will not deal. Say, we love God, but we ain't following His word and saying nothing to nobody. I ain't getting in trouble over Jesus. We ain't doing that. I ain't saying nothing. Tells us not to keep company with these people. Now, ain't that ugly? Now, I tell you, but there's an attitude to have in this. Because the next verse tells you something. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Amen. You don't end with him. You don't hate the guy. But you just tell him, we ain't lunching together till you're paying. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. We ain't having lunch till it's your turn to pay. We don't want to hate people. You don't want to get over into that thing. So you got to keep your attitude right. But dealing with them and say, hey, hold on. You know, there's people. There are Christians I won't hang out with. I will not hang out with them because they disobey the word of God. They're troublemakers. You got to love everybody. Hey, I love them. God don't fellowship with them. Do you think He expects me to? God expects me to do what He does. I'm better than He is. I don't need Him anymore. God don't fellowship with people. Do this. Do you think God's having lunch with that guy? It's not working. He ain't having lunch with him. He ain't sending him lunch. He's trying to. You don't do it either. See, we don't want to embarrass anybody or make anybody feel bad. Paul said you're supposed to make them ashamed. If we can do bad and don't get ashamed, we got a real problem in our life. We got a real problem in our life if we can do wrong and we don't become ashamed of what we do. See, I always want to have a conscience clear enough that my conscience says, Ed, you're a jerk. Knock it off. You're doing wrong. That ain't right. You want to have your conscience at that spot where you sit and say, man, I should have never done that. That's wrong. You want to keep yourself tender in those areas, folks. You need... It's for your own faith. It's your own blessing we're talking about. Hallelujah. So I want you to, get a hold of this. One of the things I want you to see, this is a psalm. I'm going to read the 128th psalm. We're going to go to the 128th psalm. I want to read to you here in this psalm. we'll eventually talk. I had made mention because, see, there's these things in the natural. This psalm here, the 128th psalm, the first time I ever read it, I was just a young Christian, only just got born again. And what happened was a Christian parents had a son who was 19 years old, we were told about, who died. He wasn't saved. And I mean, that really just grabbed me. I thought, You know, because, you know, I thought about my, at the time, Wanda wasn't saved. I hadn't got saved yet. And I have two children. And I'm thinking we're just having, you know, the thing of Alyssa we had and Elena. Wanda just in March, after I got born again in January and March. Elena was born in the middle of March. And then I hear this and I think about, it sort of just crushed me a bit. I thought, how horrible for a parent that your child dies and goes to hell. I mean, I'm thinking, man, I don't know. It's just really great. And I remember, I'll never forget this. I can tell you, it's just like it was yesterday. I can remember standing in the bedroom and there at 321 Canal Street, and I'm standing there in the bedroom, and these two windows in the front. I'm standing between where the two windows are, and I'm standing there, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven if my wife and children went to hell. I said, my God. I said, this is an awful thing. See, to me, it was like, this is a crushing blow. And I'll never forget, I turned and I walked down around to the end of the bed, and I turned back around this way, and it sounded like a voice was behind me. And this voice, I mean, just was real clear, said, go read the 128th Psalm. And I turned around to look, and there wasn't nobody there. But it was just as clear. Go read. And I'm thinking this, is there 128 Psalms? I didn't know. I mean, at that time, I didn't know if there's 128 Psalms. I didn't know that. So my Bible was laying on the nightstand, and I walked around, picked my Bible up, and I looked at my Bible. And this was the thing that I read. But it starts off with this. Listen, it says, blessed is every man who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you will eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Did you see this start? Why do we do? We're doing the will of God. Why? So you can eat the labor of your hands and be happy. You eat the labor of your hands and you'll be happy. And what? It shall go well with you. See, this is why are we doing that? Why are we following the will of God? Why do we follow? See, we're commanded to work. He says here, we fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to do His will. I don't fear God if I won't do His will. I don't fear Him. Now people say, well, fear, we're going to be afraid of God. Well, number one, you ought to be afraid you ain't going to get blessed. That ought to have some kind of fear. Am I doing, is it going to bring a problem to me, or is it going to bring blessing? You know, what I'm going to do. The fear of the Lord is to do His will. That's what we're doing. So He said, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall go well with you. Then He said, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children as olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man. Be blessed who fears the Lord. That's where I got to in those four verses. And then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, He said, I'll take care of your family. He said, you don't ever have to worry about it. You know what? I've walked in faith in that thing all these years. I'll tell you, I go along. I don't go along just praying for my family and praying. I watch people pray for their families and get nowhere. If you ain't going to obey God, you're wasting a lot of your time praying.
Amen. Preach.
He said, if you do, one of the first things is I do. Things ain't going right. Lord, have I missed it? Am I somewhere not walking? If I'm not walking in your will, I want to know.
Amen.
Because if I walked in your will, this is your promise to me.
Amen.
See, God blessed Noah's family, not because they were right, because he was right. Get this in yourself, the power that you have is an authority in a family.
Amen.
People don't live up to it. Mm-hmm. People don't live to it. Understand this. This wasn't written for Ed Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you do my will, see, and that's always one of the things that I look at to make sure that I'm doing his will.
Amen.
He said, if I do his will, see, one of the things in his will is to work. See, you work. That's one of the things in his will. See, people, they want the blessing and they want their family blessed. Well, see, my working, God used that and blessed my family.
Amen.
Laboring blesses. And see, you want to walk in that place.
Amen.
See, this is a big part of the faith walk. This is where a lot of people miss it and where why people are always not having enough, not being able to go. You know, God asks you and tells you to give. We're supposed to be givers. Would He want to have you in a job where you can't give? Is that what His expectation is? He's going to put you in a job where you can't give. Well, He'd be stupid. He'd be working against his own will and his own desires. He's not going to do that. God has a plan to bless. He wants to get involved in your life and in your life, and he does that through faith. That you work, you labor with your hands however you can. But the labor with your hands, that's not just that place, and that's the only place how he can bless you. That's not it. See, you use faith. He can do beyond that. That's why you want to walk your faith where you're at. It's like he taught me when I was working. I'm only making minimum wage. He said, go to work for me. He said, I pay well. See, I wasn't relying on his pay. I was only relying on the pay the guy was giving me. That's what I'm relying on. That's what I'm trusting in. When I stepped outside of that place, I was still getting that other pay, but now I stepped into a new place where God could bless me. I couldn't have get blessed if I didn't do anything with the labor of my hand. See, I had to do that first. See, everybody wants the blessing before they go do something. Do something and get blessed. Hallelujah. Put your hand. The Bible talks about putting your hand to the plow, you know. We have in the natural. What does a farmer do? A farmer goes out here. He doesn't go out and get the combine out in the field and ain't nothing planted in it. That's the church. We just go out there and throw money out there. Haven't been in the field plowing a thing. Haven't planted a seed. Haven't done nothing out there. And we expect the combine. We're going to go through the field. We're going to get blessed. And the preacher tells you, it's going to happen to you. He's as empty-headed as you are. I mean, how it works. You know, over the years, Wanda and I proved ourselves in the seed that we planted in fields. And I'll tell you what, our harvest didn't come in great. Harvest came in greater and greater as time went on because we had put our hand to the plow many times. We had sown seeds. We had done things. Over time, we're doing it. We're proving. We're walking in faith. We're not just talking the junk. We're walking the junk. Hallelujah. We're out there doing it. We're in the field working. And this thing works. And God blesses. And this thing works. It's not an overnight thing. It isn't you just put a big offering in and all of a sudden everything gets taken care of for you and everything. It doesn't work in that manner. In fact, God has surprised me at times in things of doing stuff and how he does it. But the one thing is I've learned, I put my hand to the plow. Many times, what Wanda and I do naturally has a lot to do about things come to pass. It's what we do naturally. We do naturally what we're doing. We're doing it by faith. We're trusting God. We're stepping out in a place. We're doing something naturally concerning our sowing, a natural thing. We're laboring. Hallelujah. And I tell you, labor pays off with God.
Amen.
He's the guy that started the labor business.
Amen.
It wasn't Teamsters Union. Hallelujah. He's the guy that started this thing. Glory to God. And he'll bless you. Let's stand to our feet. See, you people are working. What I want you to do, see, you guys work. You're laboring. You're working. But we live in a world that a lot of people ain't. They need to be told. People need to be told. You need to work. People come in the Ashbury Ball, you know, I need help, you know, pray for me. What are you doing? You ain't doing it. You ain't getting help. You don't do nothing. We need to tell people the truth. This is God's system. God started the labor system for your blessing. It is not to hurt your life. It's not to ruin. It's to bless your life. It's so you have everything you need. Hallelujah. So that you got more than enough. That's what it's about. You have as much faith in your labor as you do in your giving. We haven't been taught to do that. I found out it works.
Amen.
It works. Put faith in your labor that you work. You're going out here working. God established a system of work. It isn't some God. It isn't because a sin came man had to work. God planned on man working before he even put a plan on the earth.
Hallelujah.
He planned on people working. Hallelujah. You're in the middle of His face. Just think, you're in the middle of the will of God right now. You're working. You're in the middle of the will of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't get any better than that, does it? We're in the will of God. We're laboring.
Amen.
Glory to God. This is God's plan. And God blesses me here. Get yourself in faith. Get yourself over. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah, I'm in the middle of your will. You commanded me to work. I'm in the middle of your command. I'm doing what you commanded me to do. I'm right in the place of blessing. I'm doing it. And Lord, if you've been complaining, griping, moaning, say, Lord, I repent. I give up on this thing. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry. You're going to take care of me. You're going to look after me. Hallelujah. You're a good God. And you're looking after me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Is it, what can man do to you? The scripture. What can man do to you? If God's for you, who can, a fool would be against you. Amen. Glory to God. You're in the will of God.
Amen.
Get yourself in that. Get yourself happy. Amen. Hallelujah. Get joy. Glory to God. Eat your own bread. Have joy. Thank God I can work and put food on the table. Hallelujah. That was God's plan. That ain't some faithless minor thing over here that giving in the offering plate was more important. It's important to give. It's important to give in what we have. That's important. That's part of the plan of God. But let's get the whole blessing. Why half of it?
Amen.
Let's get the full blessing of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Allow God to bless you. People outside need to see God bless you. People need to see there's a God, not just hear you talk about Him.
Amen.
They need to see, my God, these people are blessed. You know, God does stuff for these people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My God, they're going through a bad time and they're happy. What is wrong with this?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What kind of crazy people are these? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Father, I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Opening up the Word for us to see. Open our eyes to understand and comprehend. Father, Father, these are the days of harvest. These are the days of great blessing. These are what they are. Hallelujah. Revelation is coming and opening up, Lord God, so you can bless humanity. Hallelujah. That's what you're doing. You're revealing these things, making them clear. Lord, so we can walk in these days in great blessing. Hallelujah. Lord God, oh, we want your voice to go out that people hear, but we want people to see through the church. We want people to see the blessing of God. We want people to comprehend and understand. Lord God, around us, so many, Lord God, are sitting today and they even have jobs and good paying jobs, but they're even complaining and moaning. Lord God, have mercy on them. Lord God, open their eyes to see and understand and comprehend, Lord God, that this is your plan and your work. Hallelujah. Lord God, that they would cooperate with you and how the blessing would overflow into their lives and help them. Oh, Lord God, you'll give them strength in any of the things that they have to face. You'll give them the ability because they're in your plan and in your purpose. You'll give them wisdom and what to do, Lord, because we know we're going to face challenges. No matter how we work and how well we want to do, there's always challenges. There's always problems that come up. Hallelujah. But Lord God, you give us the wisdom and understanding to walk in those things and to deal wisely with the affairs of life. Hallelujah. That's our God. So we thank you today. Father, you will do wonderful, marvelous things for us. Hallelujah. Father, there's things, Lord God, that we can't even see right now, but they're on their way to us. Hallelujah. All because of faithfulness to walk in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. To fulfill His Word. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for wisdom and strength. Lord, strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit in their inner man. Lord God, that they're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Lord God, that there are people who walk every day in the armor of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, that the devil cannot overtake them. And Lord God, they're strong in everything that they walk and they do. And their voice is the sword of the Spirit that goes out. Hallelujah. And the enemy is defeated. And Lord God, victory comes to them in the name of Jesus Christ. And they're blessed, Lord God. Hallelujah. Because they no longer have the curse. They only have the blessing. And I thank you, Lord, truly they are blessed going in and going out. They're blessed at the place that they work and what they're doing and the labor of their hands. Lord God, not just a man's hand is upon that, but your hand is upon that, Lord God. Helping them, Lord God. Blessing them, Lord God. Giving them wisdom on their job. Understanding, Lord God, of what to do and how to do it. Hallelujah. Father God, that they constantly walk in a place of blessing, Lord God. Hallelujah. And every way that they turn. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the blessed people. And always talk to yourself as you're blessed. Hallelujah. Go to work and say, oh man. See, people always do this. One thing is I learned not to do is, oh my God, it's Monday morning. We're going, don't start that stuff. Praise God. You know, I'm getting up Monday morning and go get blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to work because God blesses me at work. That's what he does.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God blesses me at work. God, that's a place of blessing for me. See, get it out of your mind. See, you set yourself to be depressed. Oh, I gotta go there. That's right, you have to go there, so strap up. You have to go there. But I want you to look at it. God is in this with me. It's not, see, when you think it's just you, see, you're not using a bit of faith. I know I was there, not using a bit of faith. I'm gone, this is Ed. And Ed's struggling through it, can't make it work. It's all Ed. You know? Now I'm going with God. Hallelujah. God's making it work for me. God's blessing me in this. Hallelujah. Thank God. I get to go up, get up Monday and go get blessed.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm going to bless the people I work for. I don't care if they deserve it. I'm going to go bless them.
Amen.
I'm going to make money for them.
Amen.
Even though they don't deserve it, I'm going to make money for them. I'm going to bless. I'm going to be like God and cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust today. Hallelujah. What do you think? Glory to God. Gee, what if you get a little bit of a smile on your face, you get thinking like that. Hallelujah. I'm gonna bless the ugly today. I'm going to work and I'm gonna do a good job and I ain't gonna complain all day about it.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
I ain't gonna say you're gonna change overnight. I didn't change in 2 seconds. Hallelujah. But God over time dealt with me to change my attitude about that. But you can't change if you don't know where to start.
Amen.
See, I'm just teaching today where to start. So you get to look at yourself and say, oh my God, is that me? See, it's one thing about the Word. See, the Word's a mirror. It ain't always fun to look in. I know. I've had to look at it sometimes, and I surely thought it was you I was seeing. I didn't think it was me. Must be you. Wouldn't be. I couldn't be that ugly. But it does. It shows you. It does. You can't change if you can't see it.
Amen.
If you look in the Word and only see wonderful about you, I'll guarantee you, burn that Bible and get a good one. Because it ain't God's. I don't like promise boxes and all that kind of stuff. They just say sweet things and that stuff. Because I need the change. You know what? It's not hard to get the promise wonders. You learn how to operate right.
Amen. Preach.
It's easy to get the promise. Sometimes it's hard getting straightened out to get the promise. Sometimes that's where it's difficult. Hallelujah, but you're blessed. And keep that on your voice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to tell you this. I expect to hear some good testimonies of what God's doing because, hallelujah, walking in this, expecting to be blessed because you're doing, you're in the will of God. You're following the commands of the Lord. You know what? The command to work is not much better than the command to love, because if you ain't following the command to work, you ain't following love anyhow. Hallelujah. So follow it. Amen?